Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, that's good. Alhamdulillah الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشر الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كان من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله والجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يعمل على شاكله فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهد السبيل صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He reported that Allah's messenger said, every child is born according to al-fitr, and it is their parents, abawahu, who make him a Jew, a Christian, or a Magian. Just as the she-camel gives birth to its young ones, do you find any deficiencies in their limbs? Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the expression of the 84th verse of the 17th surah, which we read at the beginning, is, say, everyone acts according to the way that they have been socialized, but it is your guardian evolver who knows best who is on the right way of guidance. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Alhamdulillah, we continue today on the topic of education is a sacred matter. Education is a sacred matter. And the goal, one of the central goals is to get the big picture of what it is that we are involved with as Muslims. MashaAllah, many of us for many decades have been Muslims. Some of us, you know, in our opinion, we were Muslims before we were Muslims. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we believed that we were worshiping Allah then, And we believe when we got new information that now we're really worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our hearts will always, though for those who the case fits, our hearts will always turn to the unseen creator of and cherisher and sustainer and guardian, evolver, Lord of the systems of knowledge. That's what we thought. And mashallah. Alhamdulillah. But we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing that sincerity to come to clarity. Okay, so then the idea that is the master mission for all those who say that they are Muslims is وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Brother and sister, that's the master mission. That is the master mission. And it's not a mission impossible. It is a mission possible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us clear direction, clear instruction, clear roadmaps for all of the related sub areas, which includes education, business, governance, culture / worship. And so we're speaking into with the idea of raising up to a more, I'm going to call it profound awareness of what should my day-to-day, what should my regular conscious steps, and let me add the word to the conversation, taqwa, what should my regardfulness be? What should my consciousness be? What kinds of things should I be on the alert for? And I'm going to continue to drop in little terms which have big background to them, but they need to be introduced at least so you can understand. One of the things is called a reticular activating system. Reticular activating system. And whenever you run into a complicated word, especially when I'm speaking from it, then maybe you should make a note of, okay, I got to look that word up. But I'm going to give you a little bit of information on it. Reticular activating system is that system in us that tells us what to pay attention to. It's the system in us that tells us what to pay attention to. And it is an automatic system. I was saying automated and automatic. It's an automatic reflexive part of our design from Allah, the Lord, cherisher and sustainer, because there are some things that you better pay attention to, and you better pay attention to them quick, or that's the end of you. The reticular activating system is that system that said, watch out, look for this, watch for that. If you're trying to survive, you're looking for certain things that would provide that particular benefit, or you're looking out for those things that threaten you. Okay, Allah has designed us with this system automatic in us. Now, when we talk about taqwa is having that alertness, having that awareness, having that regardfulness for the things that Allah is saying, this is what you need to pay attention to. This is what you need to pay attention to. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutuna illa wa antum muslimun. The verse is saying, sadaqallahu al-azim, the verse is saying, O you who believe, be conscious of God and be conscious in the way that God intends for you to be conscious in accordance with reality, in accordance with reality, and die not except in a state of obedience and submission to his will. So that's the ideal invitation from Allah, is say, listen, this is how I want you to be. I want you to be conscious. I want you to be alert. I want you to look out for. I want you to guard. This is also taqwa. It's inward guarding consciousness. Waqa'a is the root of it, and it's talking about guarding yourself. Taqwa is guarding yourself on the inside. So be on the alert, it is saying. Be on the alert. But taqwa relates to everything. وَتَقُوا wal arham. Have taqwa for Allah and al-arham. What's al-arham? Relationships. Well, what has relationship? Everything. Everything has relationship. You know, didn't you hear Einstein when he talked about the theory of the general theory of relativity? It means everything is related to everything else. But we already have that in Al-Islam. It's called Tawheed. Tawheed, it tells us go out, look at everything in the creation. No, don't stop. Go back again and look and see. Do you see any seams? Do you see any breaks? Do you see any disconnections? So this is what Allah wants us to be conscious of our relationship. So there's an elevated kind of consciousness. The label for it is taqwa, having that consciousness for taqwa, subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa for God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and relationships. Okay, so let's turn our attention to this verse, 1784, where it says, everyone acts according to ways they've been socialized. And the hadith saying, everyone is born on fitr. Everyone is born the way that Allah intended for them to be born from, from an intrapsychic perspective. Meaning that the way you are designed on the inside, when you come forth from the womb, that's Allah's design, right? وَنَفْسًا وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فَجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. So it's saying the soul that you arrive here with, that soul is in accordance with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had designed it. But the verse 1784 tells us that gets changed. And the Quran also tells us that sometimes not only is a change different than what Allah has ordered, but you ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Even though you are created in the most excellent mode, then you fall to the lowest of the low. Well, what is it that does that? Socialization. But what is it that does the socialization? The culture that you were acculturated in, what you internalized, what you imbibed just by growing up in your particular society, growing up in your particular environment. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, that's a big, let me just use language that's close to us so you can get it and treat it the way I think you should treat it. You know, let's quote unquote, that's a big ask. Have you heard that phrase? Oh, man, that's a big ask. Right, A-S-K, okay? So, you got to watch the patterns. I mean, I'm talking with an awareness that words and phrases raise up certain patterns to consciousness. See, that's why it was funny. See, it was funny because I'm aware that that phrasing is not too far from another phrase and that some people can consciously or unconsciously hear that or wind up kind of entertaining themselves with that distraction and then get off the point that I'm trying to get to. But see, that's one of the primary points. Culture gives you your categories of thought. Culture gives you your patterns of thought. Culture gives you your frame of reference. Culture teaches you to see things in a particular way and value things in a particular way. That's that English word, culture, that we use. But understand that when al-Islam, when the Quran gives us ummah, it's saying that and more. It's saying that and more. I'm not saying that ummah is limited to culture. No. Just like al-Islam is not limited to religion. Al-Islam is deen. So it covers everything. Ummah is also in relationship to culture, bigger than culture. And so we don't make this explicit translation from culture to ummah, but the functions of culture occur in ummah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you build ummah, and a part of that building, that is a consequence of that building, that you build as ummah is going to affect people in the ummah in the same way that culture affects individuals who don't even have religion or think about religion or don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. It's like you are yet and still a part of a culture. All right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by that order, he said, you need to build your own. You need to build your own culture. And understand this, culture takes millennia and centuries to come into existence. And by that, to give people that automatic behavior that culture is designed to give. But let's take a couple of steps back before we go too much further than that. So when Allah orders us, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, He's telling us big frame, big picture, big perspective. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. One of the things that this ummah will do is call to all that is excellent under all circumstances. Education, vocabulary, khayr. When we say yad'una ila al-khayr, what it means is call for the best under all circumstances, right? Fastabiqul khayra is an order that Allah gives to us as believers as well. Strive after what is best under all circumstances. Let's make it personal in the sense of, so you have a business relationship and you have family relationships, whether it be parent, child, husband, wife, etc., brother, sister, what have you. We all, life brings us different circumstances, okay, in all of our relationships. Are you still connected with wataqullaha wal arham? If you're connected with have regard for God and relationships, then you're supposed to have that regard for all relationships. So you bring taqwa to all of your relationships. You bring taqwa to the relationship between your brother and your sister, literal, you're the womb shared brother and sister, you understand? And you do that with the employer-employee relationship. You do that with the teacher-student relationship. You do that with leader-follower relationship. All of these are relationships, and you come with this taqwa. So that idea, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَةِ, strive after what is best under all circumstances, meaning that you come to the circumstance with taqwa. How many problems are we trying to deal with when it comes to parent and child, when it comes to employee-employer, when it comes to the governor and the governed, et cetera? How many problems do we have? Okay, well, then the principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to bring to that, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَةِ, strive after what is best under the circumstances. Does not then that also call for your ability to analyze the circumstance? Your ability to look at the factors that make the situation what it is? Factors past and present? And do you not have to take into consideration the choices that you make and the impact of your choices on the future of those relationships? This is the kind of thinking that's supposed to be involved with everything that Muslims do. But if we only strive after, well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I don't like it. Is that the criteria that we're supposed to use? Or are we supposed to use what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered? Now, when Allah says in the Quran, and the believers will qalu sami'na wa ata'na, and the believers say sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. That's a psychological statement. That's a behavioral statement, as obvious as it may seem, but it's a statement that says we hear and we react affirmatively to what we have heard from what Allah has ordered. We don't stop, deliberate, wonder, discuss, debate, argue, see if there's another option. When Allah has said what it is you're supposed to do, the believers say, Sami'anna wa ata'ana. And the Quran speaks of the desert Arabs. And it says the desert Arabs say, we believe. And Allah tells them, no, don't say you believe, but just say you have submitted, because faith has not yet entered into your heart. What is it talking about? It's speaking, among many other things, what it's speaking to is, no, it has not become a part of your automatic behavior. It has not become a part of your automatic behavior. You're trying, you're working on it, and the next verse says, and so for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm not going to let any of your good deeds, none of your good deeds, none of your right action is going to go without being rewarded. Yeah, it's going to be rewarded, but don't say you're a believer. You do some things right, but you don't automatically do what you have been ordered. You spend a little time resisting. Sometimes you have to be coerced into doing that thing. So don't claim to be a believer, because the believers in me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they only say we hear and we obey. Well, what puts one into that condition? Being socialized in a culture that nurtured that kind of mind and consciousness in that person. So if you weren't raised in an environment that was teaching you hear and obey Allah and His Messenger from a child, hear and obey Allah and His Messenger, hear and obey Allah and His Messenger, hear and obey Allah and those charged with authority amongst you, lest we forget. And those charged with authority amongst you, obey, obey, obey. And if you find some disagreement with them, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has said, look, always consult what I have revealed and the messenger last, the prophet last, that I sent to you whenever you all come to the normal conflicting points of view that you're going to have, because everyone acts according to the way they've been socialized. And we all haven't been socialized in the same way. So there are going to be conflicts and problems, and Allah is telling us, look, resort to what I have given you, and you're going to be fine. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, strive for what is best under all circumstances. And then تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, calling to ma'ruf, everything that I'm telling you calls for education. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, you have to know how to think about the situation. You have to know how to critique the situation. You have to know how to analyze the situation. You have to know how you can deceive yourself in your analysis. You have to understand the role that your own personal interests and your own impulses and your own urges and your own appetites, how they seek to dissuade your rationale or even provide you a rationale to justify doing the wrong thing. You listen to that and say, well, sounds good to me. Let's do it. And then you wind up in a pit and say, oh, how in the hell did I get here? Because you got misled, being unable to manage your own thinking. So when we talk about this, ta'maruna bil ma'ruf, the ma'ruf is what is excellent under all, what is known to be excellent historically across time, across geography, across various civilizations. There are certain values that are universal values. They're universal values. Whatever you, some of them you know, honor, integrity, trustworthiness, love, many you can find. Those things that are honored in all civilizations, in all periods of time. Even you hear this language, honor among thieves. Honor among thieves. Even a liar don't like to be lied to. Huh? A thief don't like to be stolen from. Right? So the idea is that there's a universal set of values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in our nature. He's put in the nature of creation. And those are what, there's a big area around this, but those are what get stimulated. And see, this is what we're supposed to do for Muslims. This is what we're supposed to do for each other. See, when you're in Ummah, you're on God's team, and you are saying, I'm going to, allow the analogy, I'm going to play the game according to the way that Allah said the game should be played. Huh? So where do I get the rules of the game? You get it from the adab of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it from what Allah has revealed in the Quran. So part of the game, for example, is when you give the greetings, you give the greetings, and the prophet said the best of you is the one who gives the greetings first. The best one is giving it. So what does that do to the one that said, oh, there they go. So you act like you don't see him. So you don't have the obligation of, I didn't see you. See, I'd have to start talking about negrosis on that, but I'm going to leave that right there. So you know this, right? So this is the adab, right? And then when the greeting, this is a very minimal level, isn't it? When the greeting is given, the Quran tells you, return it with a greeting of equal spirit or better, right? And so when you look at just that part from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, someone came in, they said, assalamu alaikum. The Prophet said 10. Someone came in, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet said 20. A person came in, and the person said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet said 30, saying that every time you amplify the greeting, there's a greater reward, there's a greater benefit to it, right? So, but see, that's the Islamic game. That's the Islamic game, right? So if and when you do something other than that, so somebody says, assalamu alaikum. You don't have to say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. But if you want, I get points when I add to that. So it's like, hey, I know this thing is about a record, and I know this thing is about benefits and demerits that happen. Let me chalk up some points. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But someone says, assalamu alaikum. Aim song. You ever heard that? You give them, assalamu alaikum. And they say, aim song. Hey, man, you just cheated me. And you're going to be charged for that cheating. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ad-deenu mu'ammala, the religion, our way of life, is in transactions. And al-hasib, Allah, the one who does the accounting to a nicety, everything is going to be weighed and measured on the scale. So if I gave you a greeting and then you didn't return it with an equal or a better spirit, but definitely it's got to be at least equal, then that's going to be charged. It's written down as against us, right? So I'm saying that inside of ta'amaruna bil ma'ruf, they command all that is good. See, so if Muslims, if we all understand what game are we playing, and I'm using that in a very formal way, game theoretic way. Understand what I'm saying? The reason that thing, that game theory idea, the reason it got a Nobel Prize is because people who manage societies and who contribute to the movement of societies, they know that that is important knowledge. So life is a game, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us the rules of the game as it relates to the universe. And when we say, I am Muslim, you're stepping onto the quote-unquote playing field. And you're saying, I want to play the Islam game, the Al-Islam game, to be formal. Where are the rules? The rules are in the Quran. Are there any other rules? The rules are in the life model example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so when Muslims enter into forming this womb together, then everybody's supposed to be playing the Al-Islam game. So if you come in with some other kind of game, street game, whatever kind of game, you're no longer playing the Al-Islam game. You're playing some other kind of game, and that's a mistake. But let's stay on the positive dimension of it, which is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat." If you and I, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you and I are playing the Al-Islam game, as I mentioned to you, because you say you're a part of the group, I'm in the group. Which group? The Muslim group. Okay, so that means you're playing the Al-Islam game. Yes, I'm playing the Al-Islam game. Okay, well, let me tell you what the Al-Islam game, that game calls for. Watawasaw bilhaq, watawasaw bisabr. Supposed to be trying to influence me with the truth, and I'm supposed to be trying to influence you with the truth. You're not supposed to be trying to block the truth when you don't feel like hearing it. What is that? Oh, I ain't never heard about that. Who said that? Talk to the sheikh. Okay? Watawasaw bilhaq, watawasaw bisabr. We are also, as a part of the Al-Islam game, in groups. We are supposed to practice the short term for it, limiting term, patience. But what sabr actually means is fastabiqul khairat, remember that. It means doing the right thing under all circumstances. Okay? Sabr includes not doing something, and sabr also includes doing something. There may be some things that it's right for you to do something about it, and there may be some things where it's right for you to just leave it alone. Ask yourself the question, what is khairat in the circumstance? What is khayrat? That's what you're supposed to look for. What is khayrat in the second step? How are you going to find that? You have to think about it. You have to reflect on it. You have to pray on it. You have to project. Okay, if I do this, then this is likely to happen. If I don't do this, this is likely to happen. Listen, education is what we're talking about. Diagnosis, prognosis, and prescription. You have to be able to diagnose the circumstance, find the right prescription for the circumstance, or find the right prognosis for the circumstance, meaning that if I don't do this, what's going to happen? And if I do this, what's going to happen? If I leave things the way that they are, what's going to happen? That's prognosis. Prognosis is the projected consequence of doing or not doing something about it. Okay, once you're clear on what that is, now what's the prescription? Now, the prophet, the Quran is a prescription. Indeed, it is shifa. It is the medicine. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us how to administer that medicine. And with Allah's grace and help, we'll do that. So there may be a situation where you might not feel like being patient with me in a situation. Or maybe there's something that you may need to check me on in order that I don't continue on a particular way that's not good for our relationship and that's not good for the project that we're working on in terms of ummah. For example, if there's somebody going through the community ripping people off with bunk products or with false claims of, I got a deal, this is the deal of the century, and then bogus, you know? But then they are serially, S-E-R-I-A-L-L-Y, they're serially doing that. It's like, okay, well, that's a problem, okay? If you do something about it or if you don't do something about it, what's going to be the consequence, okay? There may be a situation where you have to do something about it, but it's not your comfortable situation. It's not your that's not you, right? Okay, that's fine. But the point is that you're not to be focused on doing something because it is or is not you. You're to be focused on doing a thing because it is or not doing it is not the right thing to do. It's that particular kind of knowledge that we have to bring to bear when we talk about being patient. Watawassal bilhaq, watawassal bisabr. So we have to learn how to be that way with each other. Now, when we're playing the Al-Islam game, imagine all of us were that way. All of us, we're reading from the same rule book. We're all doing the same things that we're supposed to be doing under the circumstances in which we're supposed to be doing that. That is what will foster the growth of us and the growth out of us of that which will benefit the whole. That is, listen, there's a gift in you for all of us. There's a gift in you for all of us. There's something that Allah has created in you, but it can only grow in a nurturing environment. This is why it is an obligation on the part of Muslims to be nurturing towards each other. For example, showing appreciation for each other, recognition of talents amongst each other, because that appreciation and that recognition fosters a good sense of self, a sense of self-worth, a sense of empowerment, a sense of value in the person that is being appreciated. And then what that does, it brings out more of their talent. And the talents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a human being is not just for that individual person. That talent is for the benefit of the group to whom they belong and, inshallah, for the world at large. Watawassal bilhaq, watawassal bisabr, this sense of mutually influencing each other in the interest of our individual and collective growth, when we do that, that's what realizes the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Do you understand that you are the garden? This is a big deal. I'm serious, man. If you could use your imagination, you got one. Let's imagine, here we are. We are all little seeds. All of us, we are just seeds. And bring that roof down a little bit. Just bring the roof down a little bit and imagine that we are all in a planter box. We are all of us, we're in a planter box. So bring it down and let that space that we're occupying, let it be soil that we're all covered in. So you're a seed, I'm a seed, whatever. You got cabbage, you got tomatoes, you got carrots, you got rutabaga, you got pumpkin, you got watermelon, you got whatever. All right? So now go out and look down on that soil. You may not see any of those. You don't see any twigs or leaves or anything like that. But based on what we just talked about, we know that there's potential in there. We know that the future fruit is there under it. Okay, well, how is it going to come out and above the ground? How is it going to come out? Those seeds in our world, it calls for us mutually influencing each other, mutually interacting with each other, according to the nature that Allah has given us as human beings. And then when I interact with you in the best way, then the best of you comes out. And you interact with me in the best way, then the best of me comes out. Ha. Then what happens with envy and jealousy and ingratitude? Huh? Where if I'm envious of you, then I don't appreciate you. And if I don't appreciate you, then I deprive you of a way of continuing in some way of nurturing your own self. I know you say, well, I can make it on. I don't need that. Well, see, a part of that whole thing is you shouldn't have to be that way. You shouldn't have to be that way. It should be, if we're playing the Alice Long game, it should be such that, yeah, look at what brother so-and-so is doing. Yeah, look at what sister so-and-so is doing. Yeah, ooh, they're really good at this. They're really good at that. And then what does that do for brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? Makes them want to do more. Makes them want to do better. And what if that we are seeing in them is only the beginning of their ultimate growth and possibility? Maybe they're a little acorn, or maybe they're a little redwood seed. How about that? Or a sequoia seed, talking California talk now. Huh? It is a world phenomena, the sequoias of California, the redwoods of California. Okay, well, maybe you might be supporting a giant. Maybe you're supporting a future giant with that mutual support. So having that appreciation, sharing that appreciation with each other and for each other is one of the ways that we foster. And the fruit that comes from a tree and the fruit that comes out of something that grows up, that fruit is for the benefit not so much of the tree that's bearing it, but it's for the benefit of those who would eat from the fruit that the tree bore. So each one of us has something to offer. But each one of us has to dynamically interact with each other in a way that the best of you comes out, the best of me comes out, because God don't make no junk. You are excellent. You have some wonderful talent. But it needs an environment that supports that. And that's one of the things that Ummah does. رَبَّنَا أَتِيَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ آمين. الله أكبر. Since I've spoken to, based much of what I've said so far on تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ تَنْحَنَا عَنَ الْمُنْكَرِ تَنْحَنَا and deny what is munkar. And munkar, its meaning, one of its meanings, is whatever makes your, quote, religion void. Whatever makes your religion void. You cancel out your religion. You cancel out your religion. Whatever would cancel out your religion. Whenever we're doing wrong, we are not what we claim to be. That should be clear. Whenever we do wrong, we're not what we are claiming to be. All of us do wrong. Let's be real clear on that. Allah's Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Hadith Qudusi, where it says, all of you sin by day and by night. So ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you. All right? So none of us is free of shortcomings. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, for his mercy and for his forgiveness. So it's for us to be aware that, okay, well, I know when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm off my religion. Some people talk about being off your deen. Yeah, that's true. With وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ, pardon me, تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. So these are all, everything I've talked about, I spent a lot of time talking about, but they're in like three distinct packages in that verse, right? تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ first. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. What that is, that's a big field of a way of being. It's big. When you look at the word khayra, I spend all that time saying that. تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That's a big package too. Know what ma'ruf is and know when you are and when you're not doing it. And then تَنْحَوْنَ and الْمُنْكَرِ. Then eliminating what is wrong. Those are big categories, which is broad and general, universal indeed. But now you get specific in your life. See, in your life, your circumstance is different than mine. In your life, your situation calls for a different ma'ruf than mine may call for. In my life, I may have a munkar that you don't have, and vice versa. So each one of us has to be alive to our personal circumstance in this that Allah has called us all into. See, you have to work your al-Islam in your space and in your place and in yourself, and I have to work my al-Islam in my space, in my place, and in myself. And then when we come together, each of us don't stop playing the al-Islam game when we come in touch with each other. When we come in touch, here's a chance. Here's a chance to practice al-Islam. Put it like this. Let's say we were in a foreign country. Let's say all of us, we're in a foreign country. We all speak the English language. We speak the English language, but we're in a country where we've come to that other country to learn the other country's language. So when we leave each other, we're surrounded by people who don't speak our native tongue. Imagine that's our situation. But we have this time where we come together, but we all have come to learn how to speak the language of the land. And so each one of us can share with each other and practice with each other what we need to practice so that we can become strong. We use each other as a way of reinforcing what we want to learn, what we want to have. Brother and sister, do you understand that the world out there is foreign to al-Islam? Do you understand that they speak a foreign language? But what do we want to learn? We want to learn the language of God. And I'm not just talking Quranic Arabic. I'm talking about in your consciousness, in your morality, in your way of deciding what is true, what is false, what is proper, what is improper. We want to learn what Allah has said about that. This is the place. When I say this, I mean Muslims among Muslims. That's where we're supposed to practice that. What is it for somebody to come from the world out there and bring that in here, and that's what they practice in here? Is that not off the rails? Is that not that's the wrong thing? Leave that stuff outside. When you come here, we are practicing al-Islam. And if that's the case, when people come together in this jama'ah, then you should leave here stronger, richer, advanced in some kind of way by virtue of being in that place where your al-Islam is stimulated, where your practice is stimulated. There's a hadith that keeps running through my mind. We're going to begin to move towards close. Is that the hadith says that everyone wakes up. That is, you enter the day with your soul as a bargaining chip. With your soul. It's basically like a piece of money, let's put it like that. Your soul is like a piece of money. It's like an asset that you have. Now, add to that the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-deen mu'amala. Mu'amala means transaction. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. That was a transaction. You need some help, I'll give you some help. That's a transaction. I owe you, I failed to respect my debt. That's a transaction. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone wakes up, they meet the day with their soul as a bargaining chip. And they return at the end of the day. You know, you woke up from Fajr this morning. I know everybody woke up from Fajr this morning. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You woke up from Fajr this morning, the day started. And now here you are in the middle of your day. And there have been so many transactions up to this point in the day, and there are going to be other transactions to the end of the day, such that when you sit down on the side of your bed, take your shoes off, getting ready to lay down, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will come to the end of the day either having benefited or diminished it. You have either made yourself better or you've made yourself worse by the transactions that you have carried out in the course of the day, where you got plus, minus, minus, plus, minus, what? Every transaction, every interaction. So when we are among Muslims, for sure, we have to seek to benefit as much as we can by the mutual practice of this way of life, al-Islam. Not only for the merit that goes with and on our books for that good interaction, but also for the buildup of ummah, which will create that womb, which will foster in the people who accept to be, quote, subject to it, will foster in them the automatic Islamic behavior. One day, over some period of time, you'll have those who don't think not being a Muslim is, it's not even a way of consideration. It's like, who would ever think of not being a Muslim? There's a generation that will come after us that will see anything un-Islamic, and they'll be healthy, and they'll be balanced, and they'll be intelligent, and they'll be moral, they'll be God-conscious, they'll be charitable, they'll be generous, they'll be honest, they'll be progressive, they'll be energetic. You get what I'm saying? And not, you know, you got people who try to get there too early in the sense of their development, and you see their exaggeration. Oh, brother, you got to make wudu. You got to make wudu. No, you don't stay there, man. Where's your suture, brother? It's like, come on, homie, where's your balance at, man? You need some balance there. I know you mean well. You may be one of those angels that says, will you create something that will cause mischief and bloodshed? And I get it. I understand. Doesn't mean that you're sincere. Nevertheless, there's something that you don't know. Your knowledge is not yet complete. So I have to qualify that to say, yes, we want the perfection of al-Islam. But we have to also understand that that perfection may not come in our biological generation. In fact, the ethos that I'm talking about, I don't expect to live to see it. Now, alhamdulillah, maybe some of the younger folks here, who knows? But for us who understand, what we have to do, we have to know what the blueprint is. We have to guard the blueprint, and we have to practice the blueprint so that we can get those consequences. So in the interest of breaking and having the salat, mashallah, right away, after we complete, I'm going to incorporate the invitation. I think we may be at our limit. The goal was like 60 or 70. Those of you who have already prepared yourself to be a part of the great celebration that we expect to have tomorrow in appreciation for many different types of accomplishments, but the core accomplishments will be education, sponsored by ANNAS, our ANNAS Institute here. So it's going to be, it's a wonderful thing. It's a $100 ticket. It's an after five. It's not a jogging suit kind of situation. You know, it's not just got off the work kind of situation, you know. I'm going to have to take my one sport coat out of the mothballs. I'm going to put that on. I'm going to give you a wardrobe warning on that. I know it's going to be hot, but I'm going to still put it on. It'll be late. late in the afternoon. And I want you to have a sense that this is in relative terms. And even though those two years that transpired since the last time that we had this kind of acknowledgement, this is why we have two groups, the 2020 and the 2021, 2020 and 2021 graduates, for as far as education is concerned, are being acknowledged at that time. So we, because of COVID, you all know, we've had to, we weren't able to do it. So in terms of that tomorrow, however, this is formally a resumption and even you can say a beginning because we have a 2 year lapse of what is effectively a new legacy. Some of you are old enough to remember the Evening of Elegance and the Evening of Excellence. That is the idea. The idea is resuming the annual acknowledgement of those agreements. And let me say, coming, inshallah, and with the leadership for it, there are other layers and levels of acknowledgement that are going to happen because it's not one bird, there are four birds there. The one that's easiest to get to for us is education. But we're going to have to do the same thing for business. We're going to have to do the same thing for quote-unquote culture. We're going to have to do the same thing for governance. We're going to have to acknowledge, appreciate, show gratitude for all of those who in their field demonstrate excellence and they are identified with our community. We are supposed to put our hands together and applaud them because their progress is for the benefit of those with whom they share values and share destiny and share history. And it's a very conscious work. So it's not all going to be done this weekend or what have you, but it is in that measure, that order, that magnitude of seriousness, I'm saying to you, my support in it and to it is from the deepest religious and social scientific sensibilities. And you don't have the patience for me to spend the time, especially on today, to detail that. I don't just slap my lips just to be talking. I don't just talk to be talking. I don't entertain myself with my talking. But what I do recognize is some of us, we're just not going to make it. We're just not going to make it. It's like we will be like those that were walking with Moses in the desert. Moses and those people that started out with him from Egypt, they didn't make it into the promised land. I believe it was Joshua and Caleb or somebody. It wasn't Moses. And it wasn't the folks that came by and large that came out of Egypt with them. Okay, well, that always has happened and that will continue to happen. There are going to be cases where people spend their whole life as a Muslim and in al-Islam and pushing what they believe to be the legacy that it's pointing to, but they don't get to the promised land in their own self. They never get to that level of satisfaction, that level of self-empowerment, that level of, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me so, et cetera, et cetera. But they just held on. They just stayed there. And that was the extent to which they, I'm involved. I'm going to die without denying it. Alhamdulillah, and may Allah reward you for that. But what has to happen for the future are things that are done in the present with the interest of the realization in the future when we are not here, when we're dead and gone, that there are those who are able to move further and move more accurately and move more, productively than we have been able to move at our time. How do you make that happen? You show appreciation, and you let them know how important they are. You let them know that our future is in your hands. You let them know that when you wrap us, your old uncles and aunts and mothers and fathers, when you wrap us up and you lay us down in the ground, we are saluting, we are signing off, our post is done, your turn. You got 40 years to put into this? You got 50 years to put into this? Your turn. make it happen. But every one of us who dare to claim joy and pleasure in the success of any of our generation, you should have some creditable support that you're able to say, I was there, and I don't care if it wasn't but buying a ticket. Well, I bought a ticket. I couldn't even go, man. I bought a ticket. Well, and if you can't afford that, because it ain't about the money at all. It is so not about the money. It's about being able to show that appreciation. And so being able to do that, and, you know, Allah recognizes those who don't have the wherewithal, those who don't have those kind of resources. But this is the Al-Islam game again. Even if you don't have the resources, have goodwill. Have a good attitude. If you know about someone who is a beneficiary of it, let them know how much you appreciate, how much you value, how much their achievement means to you and to the future and the present of this community. When you do that, you don't know where that's going to take that person. See, some people, I'm almost done, don't worry. There's some people who, you know, there's certain things, like I finished this khutbah, right? I finished this khutbah. I expect somebody to say, good khutbah. Alhamdulillah, amen. That was really good. Allahu Akbar. I'm not telling you to shut up. I'm not telling you don't do that. I enjoy it. That's fine. But then there's also sometimes you get feedback from unexpected quarters. Somebody who doesn't usually make a comment and compliment, and they do that, it's big. See, our achievers in our community, they expect me to acknowledge their good, and rightfully so. But how about you who are an unknown to them? They really don't know you. What would happen if you stepped up, you introduced yourself to them? Yeah, I heard such and such and so on, so I'm really proud of what you did. I'm really happy, and I pray God gives you more success. They walk away from you, you're standing with a friend or a wife or a loved one, et cetera, and then they ask you, who is that? I don't know. But the point is that what they contributed to your psychic goodness is a long-lasting impression. So if you're that person, you need to be that person. Make the contribution that you can make for the going forward of the community. And Allah will reward you for that, and it will reward the community with its growth, inshallah. Rabbana. لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh, Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We beg that you would continue your graces upon us. We beg that you would forgive us our shortcomings, forgive us our weaknesses, forgive us our ignorances, forgive us our absent-mindedness, forgive us our neglectfulness, forgive us our shortness of faith and confidence in what you have given us. Bless us, O Allah, to learn how to believe you, and not just to believe in you. Bless us to learn how to believe you, and bless us to learn how to act in a way that demonstrates that we believe you. We believe your prophet. We believe in what you have revealed. We believe in the nature that you have put in us. We believe in the destiny that you have set before us. We believe in the way and the path to get to that destiny. Oh Allah, without your help, we have no help. Without your guidance, we have no guidance. Oh Allah, please make us better Muslims and better believers. We beg this if you only for none can grant or withhold us but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as salam. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استووا واستقيم يرحمكم الله make our roads straight and even. May Allah accept it from us. There will be announcements after, but please remember if you make sunnahs, go ahead and make your sunnahs, but don't start any conversations on the floor. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلا هم عجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. الحمد لله. May Allah accept it from us. So we want to make a couple of announcements, inshallah. We've already mentioned about tomorrow's celebration. Inshallah, you can check in at the desk on that. We got so many birthdays in August. Wow. Okay, let me get to the top of these announcements. All right, donations. Okay, can be made through MasterWorth, Venmo, and like. Anniversaries. Jeremiah and Meredith Brooks, August 5th, 21 years. Rashad Omar and Amina Latifa Shahid, August 10th, 45 years. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Okay, birthdays, I'll just read the names. Jabril Green, Abdullah Brahma, Tahida Rashid Bryant, Mariam Shabazz, B.T. Shabazz, Hakeem Pippen, Mahir Abdul-Haq, Zaina Islam, Yusuf Nasir, his is today, and Mahir's was yesterday, I can say that much, Isa Tut, Alhamdulillah, Ibrahim Islam, and also Tawheed Sabri, both of those are Sunday, both of those are Sunday, Alhamdulillah. Tomorrow, men's group, second Saturday of the month, conference call, August 14th, the NAS Community Graduation Celebration for the 2020 and 2021 group. We've mentioned them already, so we'll go through the further list. We also offer our condolences to the family of Hassan Dawan, who recently passed away, inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un, and we want to add to our prayer list Bashir. I have another one that I want to also add to this. We want to keep Sister Najima, that is Pinky, that's part of her name, Najima, whose mother passed away, and whose godmother passed away just a couple of days ago, and also she has a cousin, Hubert, who also passed away, and we want to keep them in our prayers as well, that it has been a very challenging time for her family and for herself, and mashallah, may Allah grant them all forgiveness for their shortcomings and entry into the paradise, inshallah, ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah. Yes, sir. How's it going?
My family and all.
I mean, for sure. All right. Alhamdulillah. Come on.